Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
Oh, there's a lot to break down in the trial of Karen Reed as we're about to get into week three of the trial. Lots has happened and there are a lot of things to come. Joining me to discuss, Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. Yeah, we're still in the prosecution's case right now. Of course, we're seeing a lot of very interesting cross with several of the witnesses. Let's just start from the prosecution standpoint before we start looking at some of the clips. What's been your take on how things have been going for them?
Prosecution from the first trial has really beefed up their presentation. They've sort of done it in a refined way. They're showing clips of Karen Reed's statements after different witnesses, which sort of show inconsistencies and discrepancies. And on top of that, they beefed up their cell phone expert, which scored them some points in terms of where John O'Keefe's cell phone likely would have been during this series of events.
And there was a lot of, let's start with the cell phone data, because that was an interesting one. Of course, you have one expert saying this is what we found. We dug deeper into the data. It got kind of technical for a little bit, but I think he ended up spelling it out with some graphics for the jury pretty well, even going as far as actually demonstrating in court how the 225 How's Long to Die in Cold was actually at 6-something based on the browser history and the tabs and all the technicalities in that. That, you know, it's a couple steps. Do you think it landed well with the jury, as this is factual, this is data, this is not up for debate, no matter how much the defense is going to say, well, our guy says this.
Yeah, you know, when we're talking about scientific data and scientific analysis, forensic analysis, sometimes that can get confusing. And so you really got to, put it in simple terms for the jury. I think demonstrations are almost always helpful. And they've really sort of explained how, even though, you know, the browser tab was opened around 2 a.m. or so, the search, according to the prosecution, wasn't conducted until 6 a.m. And that really lines up with the prosecution's theory and undermines this defense conspiracy.
It really does. Let's watch a clip of Ian, who was the Cellebrite expert, talking about just this and talking about not only that, but we're going to watch about the other linchpin here, the temperature of that cell phone, and we'll talk here.
And again, at 36 minutes and 40 seconds, two more phone calls received from Karen, again showing unanswered calls and resulting in pocket state being recorded by Doppler function. 37 minutes past midnight, battery temperatures dropped to 72 Fahrenheit. And at 37 minutes and 8 seconds, a further phone call, again unanswered, again resulting in a pocket state recorded by Doppler. 37 minutes and 31 seconds, a 3-second voicemail received from Karen. And at 38 minutes and 21 seconds, another incoming call. And at 38 minutes and 26 seconds, another incoming call, both unanswered, both resulting in Doppler pocket state being detected by Doppler. And I've also shown some of the locations that were recorded at around this time by the device. 40 minutes and 31 seconds, a message received from Jennifer McCabe saying hello. This is the first iMessage or SMS message received by the device, which is unread. This is followed up 2 minutes later, 42 minutes and 9 seconds, by another message from Jennifer McCabe saying, where are you? And at 42 minutes and 35 seconds, there's a 40-second voicemail received from Karen. 43 minutes past midnight, the battery temperature has now dropped to 66 degrees Fahrenheit. At 45 minutes and 53 seconds, another incoming message from Jennifer McCabe saying hello. And again, we can see location data at 53 minutes and 7 seconds, placing the device on the front yard somewhere, kind of around the flagpole area. 55 minutes and 31 seconds, a message received from Karen stating, I'm going home. 55 minutes and 50 seconds, a follow-up message saying, see you later. Another location data, this is the location that's shown bottom left. And at 2 minutes past 1 a.m., another message from Karen saying, your kids are cooking alone.
So we got cell phone data that shows where he is. And it also shows the temperature of his phone. And that, it's going to take, I don't know, it's going to take a little magic, I think, to have that be completely explained by the defense of Karen Reed, because Karen's own angry calls are what actually pinpoints John's location. Her obsessive calling are what show us fairly definitively where he's at over and over and over. That's why there's so many dots on the picture that he didn't show it in that one, but there is one where he shows the dots of where the cell phone is pinging from, and they're all in the front yard, and it's all because of Karen's. Good job, Karen. And the also, so let's talk about that first. Karen's own calls are doing this and showing where he is located. Just that alone, before we talk about temperature, how do you think the jury's reading that?
No, I think it could be interpreted as kind of poetic irony.
Yes,
she's the one who's being charged with these crimes, and her calls, according to the government, are what identify the alleged victim being outside the house the whole time. You know, probably freezing to death, or at least experiencing mm-hmm. serious cold. And so that's kind of an interesting way that played out. I think the defense is going to say that those calls show Karen didn't know whether she hit John O'Keefe or not, because if she had known, you know, why continue to call? Why continue to ask where he is? That kind of thing.
Sure. The temperature data also, you have McCabe texting him, wondering where her friend is at. And that also shows he's outside. And it also shows the phone is cold. So we can't argue that, oh, he's in the house and it's all a ruse. No, the phone's cold. It's outside when she's texting him those things. So he's not in the house. Why would she be texting if he was in the house? Where are you at? It's a fairly small gathering in a fairly small area. There's no question if he would have been in there or not. That also goes to the prosecution's theory of everything that happened, and it makes sense.
Yeah, it certainly does when looked at through that lens. You know, If Jen O'Keefe Jen McCabe was in the house, it wouldn't make sense for her to be texting "Where are you?" if John O'Keefe was also there. And then the phone temperature indicates, according to the government, that the phone stayed outside the whole time, which means John O'Keefe never went in the house. That's a tremendous problem for the defense. That's really what they're hanging their hat on in terms of trying to get Karen Reed's innocence vindicated, is that John O'Keefe went into the house and there was this fatal event. But if the phone was outside the house the entire time, does that mean John O'Keefe was outside the house the entire time? The prosecution would say yes.
And the defense is going to argue, well, the radius of those pings shows that there could be a possibility that maybe he went into the house for a very short period. It would have to be between pings, basically, which are pretty tight. So he would have had to go in for that short period of time. I think the longest is like 11 minutes, like between pings, and go from the spot where he was initially in the yard, goes in the house, and then somehow he's back at the spot in the house. If that happened, if there was, it was between pings and he was able to do that. And for some reason, they murdered him in those few minutes, or somebody did, and then decided, let's go put him exactly where he got out of the car at, maybe? I mean, because if he wasn't laying dead in the yard, he would have just been hanging out in the yard, I guess, for a while. And then went in the house for 11 minutes and then went back to the yard. Again,
I don't know how the defense is going to field this. Now, there was some cross-examination, and defense did kind of muddy the waters, and they were able to get the expert to say, is it possible that the phone was inside the house during this larger interval of time at some point? The prosecution's expert kind of acquiesced to that and said, yeah, it's possible, based on sort of the radius and the diagrams that they did. I don't know if defense might argue, like, hey, did John O'Keefe drop his phone outside but still go in, and that's why the phone is cold, but John O'Keefe was actually inside? But we're getting to a place that's kind of convoluted and probably hard for a jury to believe.
We're getting to ridiculous territory.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.